And we're joined today on The Scoop by John Folkey of the Timberwolves Radio Network. John, thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you again, Seth.
Let's start off by looking at the Timberwolves aspect of what has been dubbed the Minneapolis Miracle from Sunday night. The Timberwolves were playing the Portland Trail Blazers at home, and the Vikings game was wrapping up right around shoot-around. I know they had the game on the big screen at the Target Center, and the final score came, and it seemed like the crowd had a pretty good reaction to it. John, just give me a sense of the mood around Target Center after the Vikings were able to complete that thrilling win.
Yeah, it was a super cool moment. I was already up in our Skyway studio getting ready to do the pregame show, and I was joined by Steve Thompson from our flagship station. And so we were going on the air at 7:30, and he was going on from our Skyway studio a little after 7 to wrap up his portion on our flagship. And so we were up there watching it, and, you know, a number of fans had already come into the Target Center and were watching it on the center hung inside. But there were some fans that didn't want to miss it, and so we had it in the TVs, up on the TVs in the Skyway studio. And then above the doors before you entered the arena staff had put the game up there. So there were a number of people out in the Skyway just standing around watching it. And when it happened, both Steve and I turned to each other and said, you know, are you serious? Like, that really happened? And the crowd out in the Skyway just went nuts. And Alan had the video of the crowd in the arena going nuts as well. It was just a real, real cool and surreal type moment. And I think Alan summed it up best on the broadcast that, you know, before that happened, the mood in the arena from, you know, the 600 to 800 fans that were already there, the arena staff, obviously, you know, employees, everybody was pretty bummed out, you know, to see that lead slip away and started feeling that sort of Minnesota, you know, I don't know, morass or whatever the word would be, that, you know, here we go again. And when Diggs made the catch and run and 61 yards later he's in the end zone, the mood completely changed. And it was, you know, night and day. And then it was fun, too, being in the Skyway studio for the next 45 minutes and watching fans come in. You know, we saw fans that were coming from U.S. Bank Stadium into Target Center, and fans, you know, with Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins jerseys over Vikings jerseys. So it was real fun, and that mood really changed. And then the Wolves, you know, were able to sweep the five-game homestand and really kind of put an exclamation point on a big day in Minnesota sports. And so, you know, for a few moments, all was right in the Minnesota sporting landscape.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that the finish to that homestand. The Wolves did end up going on to beat the Trailblazers Sunday night, 120-103. They finish off the homestand 5-0, and that includes wins against the Cavaliers, the Thunder. They beat the Pelicans, and they beat the Trailblazers and the Knicks as well. In terms of moments this season, John, where does that five-game sweep of that homestand rank amongst some of the best moments the Wolves have had this year?
Well, I think it's right up there when you look at the competition and the fact that they won those games by an average of nearly 18 points per contest. And, you know, of those five teams, four of them would be playoff teams if it started right now. And the Wolves, you know, just put together dominating performances on both ends of the floor, from the way their offense was clicking to the way their defense in the New Orleans and Cleveland games, you know, set the tone right from the jump. And then in the New York and OKC games, came up big in the second half and allowed Minnesota to create some separation. You know, and then in that Portland game, it was the second quarter in which the Wolves held the Blazers to just 10 points on 2 of 15 shooting. So there were a number of, you know, great moments on that homestand. But, you know, I think what's interesting is the Wolves were climbing in the standings and everybody was feeling really good. And then last night, the loss in Orlando against a team that had dropped 16 out of 17. And so it just goes back to really reinforce Coach Tibbs' message that, you know, you've got to handle every single game the same way, and you've got to focus on, you know, the improvement, on the preparation, all those things that we hear him say day in and day out. And, you know, coming off the five-game sweep and feeling good about yourself, I thought that, you know, that loss to Orlando was unfortunate, but it just reinforces that message of, hey, you can't look ahead to Toronto or Houston. You've got to stay focused right where you are.
John, some strange things going on in that game against the Magic last night. There was a scuffle between Nemanja Bjelica and Aaron Aflalo. And I know I saw the missed punch that kind of led to both players being ejected, but it sounds like things were brewing a little bit earlier in the game. What happened between those two?
Well, there was a scuffle earlier in which Aflalo went up against Belly, you know, trying to score a layup, and Belly defended it well. They collided, and they ended up having some words after that. And then a couple plays later, you know, Belly was running in, kind of had the elbow up a little bit as he was going in to get an offensive rebound, and Aflalo just turned to face guard him, you know, and put his elbows up and slammed right into Belly's chest, and then the two kind of got tangled up a little bit, and that's when Aflalo threw that haymaker, and, you know, thank God Belly moved out of the way, because I was talking to my wife when I got home, and you just think about how bad that could have been had that connected. I mean, it wasn't a great situation overall, but had that punch connected, I would hate to think about what could have transpired after that. So, you know, fortunate for Belly to have gotten out of the way. And, you know, I think Aflalo is going to end up with a suspension for sure, a fine for sure. And, you know, Belly got ejected only because it was his second technical. And, you know, we've had a lot of folks on Twitter wondering why, when Belly was trying to defend himself, and, you know, hold Aflalo in the headlock like that, that he was the one that got tossed. Well, in that earlier scuffle that I was talking about, they both got hit with double technicals. And then they both got hit with double technicals again for the second scuffle. And so as that resulted in the second technical for Belly, it's an automatic ejection. So it's something that the refs do. You know, it's a default that if two guys are involved in something, you just give them double technicals and move on. Certainly, I don't think Belly deserved to be ejected for, you know, trying to protect himself, but just kind of the way things went.
John, we look at what's coming up next for the Wolves. They will take on the Houston Rockets on Thursday, and it could be a different-looking Rockets team depending on what happens with what they did to the Clippers.
Wild, man. I mean, what's going on in the league?
I have never seen anything like that, and still kind of trying to gather all the info as to what happened, but basically a scuffle between the Clippers and the Rockets led to Chris Paul leading a group of Rockets players through a back door to get into the Clippers locker room, while Clint Capella was kind of a decoy at the main door to the locker room. I don't know if I've ever heard of anything like that happening before.
No, it's new to me as well. But, you know, it's been a weird kind of season in the NBA, just in terms of the anger level and the angst level. I mean, we've seen LeBron James get ejected, Kevin Durant get ejected multiple times, Anthony Davis's first career ejection, and, you know, how many times have we woke up the next morning and seen an email from the league saying, you know, so-and-so was fined X amount of dollars for criticizing the officials. So there seems to be a lot of tension in the league right now on the court between the players and the officials. We see a lot of jawing back and forth. And, you know, it seems to have come to a head here over these last couple of days. And, you know, hopefully it's something that everybody can get together and sort out, and just get back to playing basketball, and so we don't have to worry about this stuff. But you're right, it'll be very interesting to see if the NBA's investigation of that Rockets-Clippers situation wraps up, you know, before that game on Thursday, and then who's in uniform and who's not. And as more details creep out, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN has been on the case right from the jump, and so he's probably your best source. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who's in the lineup and who's out. And, you know, the crazy thing is those names that you mentioned, Chris Paul, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Clint Capella, those are huge pieces of that Rockets team. And so if they're not there on Thursday, that's going to put a lot of pressure on some other guys to step up. And, you know, you're talking about two of your main ball handlers, and I know Harden's been out for the last 2 weeks with a hamstring injury, but they were kind of targeting his return either Thursday or Saturday. So to be without him, possibly because of the injury or a suspension of some sort, that puts a lot of pressure on that Rockets team.
We see some other tough games coming up here in the next few. The Wolves will see the Clippers on Monday. They'll also be home to take on the Toronto Raptors on Saturday. And coming into the season, Toronto was viewed as maybe one of those teams that might be able to rise up in the Eastern Conference. But I don't think anybody expected them to be playing this well.
Yeah, they've been interesting to watch, and they've really changed their style of play, which I think, you know, suits the way the game is being played across the association now. And they're shying much further away from the isolation mid-range game, and they've gotten more into that kind of pace and space style that we see, you know, kind of dominating the NBA landscape. And it's resulted in a 29-13 record for them. And DeMar DeRozan poured in 52 in setting a Toronto Raptors record, franchise record earlier this year. So he and Kyle Lowry are still kind of the backbone of that team, but they're going about things a different way. Their assists are up a little bit more. Those guys are shooting more threes rather than, you know, the dreaded mid-range shots. And so they've got some offensive firepower, and they're going to test Minnesota just like Houston is. And then, you know, you look ahead to next week, and you've got the L.A. Clippers, who are playing at a high level right now. I mean, they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. They won 5 straight. Minnesota will be at Staples Center, and then a back-to-back with Portland and Golden State. So a very big gauntlet of a stretch coming up here for Minnesota over the next week. And, you know, hopefully they can bounce back from this Orlando loss, figure things out, and get back to playing like we saw them do at home.
John, want to take a little bit of time here as we start to wrap up to give you some recognition. The NSMA Sports Media has named you the 2017 Minnesota Sportscaster of the Year. So congratulations, a very well-deserved honor.
Yeah, thank you. It was a surprise and incredible, incredibly humbling to be, you know, first off, just nominated and, you know, to be amongst guys like Dan Barrera of KFAN and Corey Provis, who are also finalists for the honor this year. And to be able to, you know, end up winning it was amazing. So, you know, a huge thank you to everybody who voted, everybody who is part of the organization and voted and nominated me to begin with. And, you know, it's just great to be able to shine the light kind of on what we do in covering, you know, the WNBA and the Minnesota Lynx, but also, you know, our work with the Timberwolves and the Timberwolves Radio Network and connecting with folks like you, Seth, and stations all over the upper Midwest to talk Timberwolves basketball and spread the word. So incredible honor, incredibly humbling to win that, and, you know, just very fortunate to have that opportunity.
John, great stuff here today. Thank you for joining us to talk about just how the Wolves have been doing recently and some of the other crazy things going on around the NBA. We'll see if the Wolves can keep their strong stretch going, and we'll catch up with you again a little bit later on down the road.
Awesome. Sounds good. Take care, Seth.